Okay, I just summarize what I had just given, that simple instruction. Those who already know how to meditate, you continue. Those who still not clear about the instruction, because today there are two new people, so I have to give the briefing again. But you don't try to remember them, because there is a transcript based on my Thursday class session, where the whole thing has been completely and clearly described. So I will give you a copy of this. Because these two, Mrs. Ui and the friend, especially Mrs. Ui, I haven't seen her for the last 20 over years. She used to be with her husband, Brother Ui. We met at Brickfield. Then somehow they were also part of WAVE, I think. Then when we were there in Thailand that year, 1992, Long Po Tet, Wat Hima Peng, I still remember. That place is very beautiful. What is the name of that town? What is Anong Kai? Yes, we were there recently too. When we visited this Long Po Tong Bai, is it? At Wat Na Long. Wat Na Long is nearby to Nong Khai. So when we were there, many things happened. Just now I share a bit with them. So Long Po Tet at that time was already very old, quite elderly and sick. But despite his condition, he still agreed to meet up with us at his private place. We were very lucky because that trip, like I said, somehow our good karma bring us to meet with all the great monks of Thailand. Everyone that we visit, they were around, including Achan Mahabhoa and many other monks. So those were the years, like I told you all, spiritual trip. That time I just, among some Kayanamita, we just travel. We don't even know anybody. But conditions just arise and we just go. Then everything falls into place. Many, many things happen. That is also the time I met Ajahn Yantra, my first real teacher. Then we met a lot of other monks too. Ajahn Buddhadhat, Buddha Dasa. I was at Surat Thani, his way place. His way place was called Suan Mok, yes. And it was a very beautiful place. I was there a few times though, at least three or four times, Suan Mok. And I liked that place. And I was at Kanchanapuri, Sunataram, Ajahn Yantra's place. Then we visited many monasteries nearby, including Chiang Rai, Chiang Mai, then all the way down to Wat Pat Nanachat and Wat Pat Pong. So Thailand has a lot of affinity with my nature too. So I had a lot of joy when I met up with her just now. I was very surprised she turned up and she can still remember. The only slight negative news is the husband, Brother Ui, because of age, has already passed away 8 years ago. At that time, he was 70 plus, I think near to 80, 76. So anyway, like she said, life is like that. So I told her, yeah, the human form is like that. We cannot assume that this physical human form can be with us for very long. So just like our offering of flowers to the Buddha and to all the great beings, there are a lot of beautiful dhammas within. When the flower is fresh, it's very beautiful. It has its condition. And with a lot of joy, you offer it to the Buddha, to all the great beings. as a sign of respect, as a sign of joy, gratitude, everything. Then it reminds us of the Dana Parami, generosity, that we have to have this heart, that is ever willing to offer, donate, and do all this wholesomeness. Then at the same time, we reflect and contemplate on the nature of this flower, just like Lord Buddha's advice. He said, if you offer sincerely, very often, you will have to develop the understanding that this flower, just like any other phenomena, it will go through the stage of decay. Then it will wither, it will die, and it will cease to be. So impermanent is something you will see in all things within this conditioned world. That's why the Buddha said, there is this universal characteristics of impermanent, anicca, inherent within all phenomena, may it be physical phenomena, mental phenomena, or nature's phenomena, like the flower. So the English word is very good. Flower is very ephemeral. Ephemeral means it doesn't last long. It has these characteristics of decay. It decays very fast, then it withers very fast. So when it withers, if you attach, you will develop the unhappiness over it. But if you understand that this is the reality, you accept it, then with a lot of joy, you will clear it out. Then you constantly remind yourself, just like what Lord Buddha said, this body of ours too, like this flower, it will soon decay. It will soon wither. For it is subject to nature's law. It goes the way of nature. It will get old, it will be diseased, and it will have sickness. And one day, it will die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. And these are daily contemplation that we need to reflect. Then we will strive on with heedfulness to use this physical body and mind to help us diligently cultivate so that we do not become heedless, so that we can follow the advice of the Buddha to strive on with heedfulness so that we can make full use of it to develop the cultivation. And hopefully, when condition permit, you all too can realize the truth and awaken. Once you connect and awaken to your true nature, when you understand that true mind, that true nature, you become beautiful. Then you will not be deluded by the form. You will not attach, you will not cling, you will not hold. Then you understand the Buddha Dharma very clearly. All of the teaching become clear. So this is just a small sharing because of condition. So now returning to the meditation, I will repeat some of the instruction, but I will summarize it. The purpose of formal meditation, there are two prones. First is for those who need to train their mind so that they can come here to train. This place is more conducive because formal meditation, your senses are not active. You are in a formal posture. You don't have to live life. Your sixth sense door need not engage in life. So most of them are down. You don't have to see anything actually, technically. The hearing consciousness also is passive. Then your smell, taste, tactile, they are also passive. So it's easier to train. The only active one is your thought, the mind faculty. So this is the heedless mind. The Buddha said the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditionalizing mind that you need to understand and train. The true mind, you don't have to train. The true mind is eternally in that state. It never changes. So when we understand this, then we will come to understand formal meditation initially is about training this mind. That's why the Buddha said, before he passed away, Parinibbana, he said, he told all the monks, Apamadita Sampadita, means strive on with heedfulness. What is heedfulness? Heedfulness is as defined under Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative and ever mindful, they are heedful. And when you are heedful, the Buddha said, you will realize the bond-free Nibbana. He guarantees you. So this is what Appamada is all about. This is what heedfulness is all about. So there are two parts. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So in meditation, we need to train our mind to be ever mindful. That is the first part of meditation. Then after that, use that mind that is trained to live life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because this is the meditation that will lead to the end of all suffering, like the Buddha proclaimed under the second turning of the fourth Noble Truth. He said there is this Noble Eightfold Path. If living being were to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So our meditation is to develop wisdom, enlightenment, that will lead to the end of all suffering. So if Noble Eightfold Path leads to the end of all suffering, then this is the real meditation. And within Noble Eightfold Path, you have eight path factors. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, then right effort. Then after that, mindfulness. Right mindfulness, this is where the four foundation of mindfulness is. Satipatthana. That's why the Buddha say under the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha say, Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for realizing the right path, for realizing the right enlightenment, which is Nibbana, that will lead to the end of all suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. So that's why this is the real meditation. So the four foundation of mindfulness is only one aspect of Noble Eightfold Path, but it is the most important aspect. So when you develop Samasati, you can cultivate Satipatthana. Then when you develop Samasati, it will develop what they call Samadhi. Sati that is continuous becomes Samadhi. Then when you use Sati to cultivate four foundation of mindfulness, it will lead to the wisdom, the insight knowledges. It will lead to wisdom, panya. When panya arises, the last factor of enlightenment, equanimity, upekkha, will arise. So sati leading to samadhi, leading to panya, leading to upekkha. That's how the seven factors of enlightenment will fall into place. So coming back to meditation, the first aspect of meditation is to train the mind to be aware, then stabilize it to become continuously aware, ever mindful. Then after that, only can use it to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the wisdom. So you are here to train your mind for those who are yet to train. Mind training got many ways, or they call methods and techniques. All these methods and techniques are only skillful means to train your mind, to anchor your mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought. And when you understand, then you know the method and technique doesn't define the meditation. Meditation needs to be done with understanding, wisdom. If you don't have right view, you cannot meditate. If you don't have right understanding, you cannot meditate. You cannot develop something that you don't understand. So this is something we have to bear in mind. So the training of the mind requires the cultivation of the spiritual faculty. So to cultivate spiritual faculty, we start with puja to develop the faith, sadha and virya. After puja, we constantly reflect and contemplate on all those essential dhamma that the Buddha shared with us. Then we start to recollect the nine great virtues of Lord Buddha, the important understanding of what the true Dhamma is, and the significance of the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, the Aryan Sangha. Then from there, our faith is strengthened. Then we determine strongly, our virya will become stronger. Then when we have virya, it will drive us to cultivate, to train the mind. That's how sati comes. The first training is to pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the great beings. When your body and mind move as one, like kaya nupasana, anchor your mind to the form, because our form is always in the present moment. So you anchor it to your physical body, whether it's the four posture, or anapanasati, or rising, falling, or any part within your kaya. That's why kaya nupasana is the first foundation of mindfulness that you need to anchor your mind, so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought, so that it can be with the moment without thought. The moment you are aware of your kaya, you are within the moment without thought. Your breath, in and out breath, always have to arise and pass away in the present moment. If you can develop mindfulness of this in and out breath, you are always in the present moment, in pure awareness, aware of the in and out breath. That's why anapanasati is recommended, very highly recommended. It's a very neutral object too. So just now I teach you the mind sweeping method is to help you decondition the heedless thinking that has developed over time. When you are heedless, when you have a lot of delusion, ignorance, when you lack the spiritual faculty, that's why you cannot manage your mind. The hindrance overwhelm you, and because of that, it becomes habitual. It becomes so heedless. So in order to decondition this heedless thinking, we need the mind sweeping method to stop the thinking. That's why I teach you how to feel and then relax. When you feel and relax and don't think, you start off a new deconditioning of your mind. Means you are now more and more mindful. You just feel, then you relax. Feel and relax. And that is the basis of meditation. You can do that very well, you will progress very fast. Then after this mind sweeping method, your mind will be more calm and more peaceful, because it will not think like before, heedless. You need to stabilize this silent mind or mindfulness. And to do that, you try anapanasati. Anapanasati is very simple. It's just like when you feel your forehead, now you feel your breath. Awareness, maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Then breathe out, breathe in normally. Then the moment the mindfulness detect the breath, then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So this is a natural process. So anapanasati is just mindfulness of in and out breath without thought. Means when your mind and the breath as one, just like your body and mind as one, now is your mind, awareness, and the breathing as one without thought. Initially, if you are not used to it, you have not trained, this mind will wander off very fast because of the heedlessness, because of the hindrance. So when you understand, you just have to be patient, relax, and just aware. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Maintain awareness in front of the nostril. If you persevere, if you have the patience, very soon, not long, this anapanasati will stabilize. So when it stabilizes, your mind becomes very calm and very peaceful. Well, when there is sati, mindfulness without thought, this piti will arise, a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, or spiritual rapture of mind will arise. Then when you continue to relax and just be mindful of it, maintain that training, then this piti will transform, become more and more refined, until finally it becomes sukha. Sukha is very blissful. It's a very, very much more refined state of mind as compared to piti. you will experience that type of bliss within your mind. Then when you experience that, you need to relax your mind further. That's why the first support for meditation is relax. Relax deep into every state that arises. Then after that, maintain the silent mind to be just aware. Yeah. That is the second support. So anapanasati, when developed, you relax into it, then piti becomes sukha. Sukha, when you continue to relax, it will develop pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. This is the mind that can understand and can meditate. So you just relax and allow it to be. Then when you start to do that, when pasati develop, all of your breathing will slow down. All of your thought process will slow down. All your heartbeat will slow down. Whatever object of mind meditation that you have, they will become more and more subtle until like you cannot be aware of them. During this time, do not be scared, do not panic. Do not even try to do anything like what they used to tell you. Don't try to go and feel the sitting and touching. Forget about all those things. You just continue to relax and silent your mind. Maintain that silence. Initially, the mind needs anchor because you are training it so that it does not wander off. You need to hold on to an object of meditation. But when pasati develops, the mind is peaceful, still, and tranquil on its own. It doesn't need any support. During this time, technically, you don't need any object of meditation. That's why if you persevere and relax deep into it, when pasati become very stable, then you realize your mindfulness become more and more refined until it has the ability to detect even the very subtle breathing. Then the very subtle breathing like become very clear to you. Then after that, this mind that is in sati does not need any object of meditation, technically, to be peaceful. Then you can locate this awareness anywhere within your form. You can go to the heart, stay there silent. Then you will be very surprised. You can detect your own heartbeat without the stethoscope. Then anywhere you locate, the vibration everywhere, you can feel them. Your mind becomes very sensitive. The awareness becomes very, very sensitive. This is the more refined sati that you need to develop and train. And this is the meditative mind. When you have this, you have to stabilize it. Then use it to live life. Your daily mindfulness needs this pasati, the silent mind, the tranquil mind, the stillness of mind. This is the mind that can see things as they are without any object of meditation. This mind is silent, peaceful, and tranquil on its own. So meditation is very simple. Just relax and aware. So I will leave it to you all to meditate. So I check the time. Okay, in about 10 minutes time, I will ring the bell. For those who still want to meditate, after that you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation after you hear the bell. I will ring it 3 times. So I'll leave it to you all to develop your own meditation and training. Okay. For those who still want to continue with their meditation, you can. For those that are not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Somebody on the line. Yes. No, the other one, center one. Okay, enough. Thank you. Sadhu. As I explained just now, you have to do your meditation with understanding. Then only you can develop it very well. If you don't understand what you are doing, means you are not focused. You cannot develop something that you don't understand. So the Buddha already told us, we need to strive on with heedfulness. Heedfulness got two parts, I already explained. Ever mindful is one part. To cultivate the meditation as taught by him is another part. That's why Dhammapada verse 23 said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and the steadfast one, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. So this is a very important understanding. So we are here initially in the form of meditation to train this mind so that it is mindful. Then you're supposed to stabilize it so that it becomes continuously mindful, ever mindful. And then use it to live life, to cultivate in daily life. Here the meditation is Noble Eightfold Path. So when you cultivate daily mindfulness, to develop the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, you become heedful. And that is Appamada, misleading somebody, looking for somebody. So here, form of meditation, you are here to train your mind. When your mind is already trained, then you have to maintain this mind that is trained. You listen. The mind that is trained is very different. It is heedful. It is mindful. It is aware. It is peaceful. It does not heedlessly lose itself in the thinking. So the mind that is trained has the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, and sati. That's why it's mindful, heedful, without thought. That's why after the training, I always remind you all to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. That is the trained mind. The trained mind listen to you. Means what? If you want this mind to be silent, it will be silent. If you want this mind to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. Such a mind is trained. It's just like the dog. You train a dog. The trainer says, sit. The dog sit. And it's not. That is a well-trained dog. When you say, sit, it run. It's not trained. And it's not. So this untrained mind, like the Buddha said, is like a monkey. It jump around like the dog. It doesn't listen to you. It is very actively lost in thought, continuously running around. So the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop, the Buddha said. You know what is a devil? A devil is an evil being. A evil being take over your mind and convert into a devil's workshop. That is how evil you become. That's why the three evil roots are very powerful. They are roots of all evil. They become the new, what they call entity within your mind. Because this mind that is untrained is heedless due to your ignorance, due to your self-delusion. But the moment you train, it becomes different. The spiritual faculty takes over. The mental hindrances to be. then there is clarity, there is peace, there is awareness, there is heedfulness, and then you can meditate, you can understand what is going on. Then you use this trained mind to help you understand clearly who you are, what this mind aggregate of form and mind is all about, what this human being is all about, what is this mind that the Buddha talked about. How come it say it follows the dependent origination as taught by him? Dependent origination is the 12 link, paticca samuppada, or itta paccayata. Then there are 12 link to the behavior of mind. The Buddha say the first link is avijja, dependent on ignorant avijja, a conditioned activity of mind, sankhara, avijja paccaya sankhara. And when sankhara arise, it will condition what they call consciousness. So avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. How can you see in the meditation? How can you investigate into what the Buddha say? How can you confirm that he is right? When you silence your mind, you will be able to do that. And you will see very clearly why you think. What constitutes ignorant? Ignorant means what? Ignorant of the truth, the law that governs life and existence. You don't have right view. Without samadhi, right view, you are ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. When you don't understand truth, the law that governs life and existence, the reality. This mind, being deluded, it will have two things inside it. It will try to know. That one thing to know and trying to know is a result of delusion. Because you don't understand, you want to know. And one thing to know, you go and think. Because you don't understand that there is another mind that can let you develop the wisdom and the understanding, which is not the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind. You have forgotten about your true mind, your true nature. And that one is not an individual, it's just a nature. So meditation is understanding all this through the training of this mind to connect back to this true mind, the true nature within. If your mind is not silent, it cannot connect, it cannot understand, it cannot realize. It cannot even experience a glimpse of that true mind, the nature. That's why to most people, lay people, peace is very difficult to come by. To be silent even for one moment is so difficult to come by. But to the cultivator who are trained, who have developed the understanding and the wisdom, peace is very natural. Being heedful, aware is very natural. And that is the state of mind that you use to live. So the mind that is trained is very different. It is heedful. It is not heedless. It doesn't have the hindrance. It has the spiritual faculty. It leads to clarity of mind. It leads to the calm and peaceful mind that is very composed. When your faith is very strong, your mind is very calm, very peaceful, and very composed. When virya is there, there's a lot of energy within. Spiritual zeal and tenacity to cultivate. When you are mindful, you are in sati, there is no thought. When there is samadhi, your mind is collected, unwavering. So at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, think of something, smell, tactile, feel, or think, or taste, it does not waver, it does not stir. It is in samadhi, collected and unwavering. So this is the mind that can see things as they are. Then it can understand why your mind, which is untrained, become like that, become heedless. And how through your wrong view, your conditioning, you react and stir when you contact with the physical world, the phenomenal world. When sense experience arise, your mind reacts. So meditation is about developing wisdom via this trained mind, which is heedful, silent, and just aware within. So that's why when you understand you are very focused. Whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't bring about the training of the mind to stabilize that sati, then later on to use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path to develop the wisdom, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Means if you are doing funny thing in your meditation, note this, note that, and try to develop energy, feel, concentration, very fantastic mind state of meditative experience. Or you try to see light, nimitta, develop psychic, all those things. These are all nothing to do with the Buddha's teaching. These are sidetrack, byproduct of mental concentration. Those who do apana samadhi or concentration and absorption meditation, they will go into the psychic field, energy field, and they will do a lot of other concentration, like using thought. Initial application of thought, followed by sustained thought. Then they focus, they concentrate. They develop one-pointedness, then they develop jhana, everything. Then they use the energy to develop psychic. So if that is what you want, then it's a different field. The Buddha didn't teach that. The Buddha went through that type of meditation during the early years when he followed other teacher. But later on when he became enlightened, he awakened, he teach differently from his own understanding. So this is just a simple summary of what you need to know. So meditation is to be done with understanding. The main focus is train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Whatever meditation you do, if it does not bring you back to be heedful, to develop the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Always have that clear in your mind. Okay, with this, maybe I will finish off the first part, which is the meditation part and explanation. So now we got a little bit of time, another 20 minutes for Q&A. You can ask whatever question you want. You can also report your meditation. Then ask whatever question related to your meditation or to the teaching and how you can apply this teaching to help you understand life, to help you overcome all of life's suffering and misery. Okay, the mic is here. You all can have it. Anybody got any question? Or anybody who wants to report the meditation, you can have it. Oh, nobody. Yeah, brother. Nobody. Okay, if nobody, then maybe I will pass these two books to Mrs. Ui. Come, Mrs. Ui. Come. Never mind, put it there. I will give you this two book. This is based on a talk I gave in Klang. Tiratana, Samatha Vipassana Bhavana. This is the book that is on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, based on a Thursday class recording. It's also a meditation session. So you should be able to benefit quite a lot from this book. Then there are some recordings that you can listen to. I think Sister Jane will know. You contact Sister Jane or Brother what? Lim, Tan, Brother Tan. So Sister Jane and Brother Tan, they know. They can contact Kelly. The link is all there. It's in the WhatsApp, Dropbox. If you got Dropbox, then you can listen. If you don't have, you can just register for one. It's free. Ah, Sui An's place. Thursday class is at Sui An's house. He has been there for the last 5 over years. I've been teaching there for the last 5 over years. Yes, 8:30 to 10:30. If you want to attend the puja, you come at about 8 to 8:15. 8 o'clock, we will start to prepare for puja. Then 8:10, we will start puja sharp. Then after that, 8:30, the meditation class will start. The address is all there, I think. Very good. What about your friend? Is she a meditator? Oh, you are from Penang. Oh, I give you this book also. Penang, you can contact Puan Chi, I think. Puan Chi is there. Puan Chi. Oh, no problem. This book also, this is the same as the blue book, but it's a bigger font. No problem, Sado. You can have it. If you got any question, you can, maybe next time when you attend, you can ask. Okay, anybody wants to report their meditation? Or you got any question that you want to make clear, you can. What about Mrs. Ui and your friend? You got anything you want to ask about the Dhamma? You can ask me anything. Make full use of what you have. No need to worry about the question. Anything you want to understand, you can ask. Because there are affinity from the past. So after so long, I haven't met her. And she suddenly appeared 22 years later.
My husband always speaks fondly of you.
He talked to me a lot. He discussed with me a lot. That time when I explained a lot of things to him, I don't think he quite understand what I try to share with him, but he sensed that I am different. Then when he met me at Wat Hi Ma Ping, he was very surprised. He was very surprised. And how we can be there. And how we met Ajahn Tee. Because he has a lot of faith in one of the disciples. He used to tell me. Just now you mentioned that one.
I just wanted to say that my husband had a series of sickness a few years. Because of the Dhamma.
He was able to endure.
He was very, very strong.
Very strong.
And I would say he taught me how to be brave. And to Sado. Face the truth and to face life. I think that's why I'm still carrying on.
Very good.
Although we have no children. I stay on my own. I always remember what he says.
Very good, very good. I still met Sister Kaur at the Klang talk. She purposely came for my talk. I think Sister Jane, they all know. They bring her along and she was still very happy. She used to be with us at Brickfield last time. Now her leg not so good. Because my body is just a body. It's supposed to be a vehicle to serve us. So while we can, we make full use of it. Then as it age, like the Buddha said, it will start to decay, understand? It will start to deteriorate, like a car.
All of us are getting
all the spare parts, wear and tear, it will start to break down. Then not like car, every part you can get replacement. Human form, the organ, may not necessarily be the case. So whatever it is, like the Buddha said, if you have reflected and contemplate on the 5 daily contemplation that he has taught us, then you will be okay.
Yeah.
you will be able to confront the first noble truth reality easily, just like what your husband did, brother. Yes.
Especially in times of sickness, yes. When you know you're nearing death.
Yes. You know, because the Buddha always
is so strong. Yeah. You know, uncle was very so good. Strong. Yeah. He never pitied. He never cried.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, he was just so strong.
Yes. It's just like the Buddha said. This form is only element, no knowing. It cannot be you. Then this form, because your consciousness is trapped inside, that's like karma, karmic-wise. This mind, because it's trapped inside this physical form, it will experience all of the things that happen within that form. That's like karma has power over you. It's because the mind is trapped inside. But like the Buddha said, when the mind is clear, when the mind is not deluded, it will be able to discern clearly between form and mind. Mind is mind, body is body. Body is never the mind. Mind never was the body. Then we choose to take care of mind. That's like the Buddha said, when your physical form, when body is sick, do not allow your mind also to be sick. That is the deep meaning. That's why he said you reflect every day. He said every monk and every cultivator, they must reflect the 5 daily contemplation. The first 3 is about our physical body, is it? This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, to decay, get sick, and one day die. These are the first 3 reflections. For this form goes the way of nature. He has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. And there is no death, when you understand. Death is but separation of form and mind. When consciousness has to leave that physical body, because it's no longer able to sustain that consciousness, support the arising of that consciousness, then the consciousness has to leave. Then the condition behind is arising also cease to be. When the life force is no more, the heartbeat also stops. That's why consciousness have to separate. Sometimes the life force is still there, but the physical body, major organ, they are already damaged. Like your heart, your brain, it cannot support consciousness. So consciousness also have to leave. Then you start to understand the form and mind, the physical human being, the physical and mental aspect of the human being, the first aspect. This one is not you. Then you start to understand what the Buddha meant. These are conditions arising, karmically conditioned out, form and mind. For you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. But living beings being deluded, they don't know how to use it. They attach, they cling, and they worry about this body getting old, getting sick and tired. And they attach to the mind that arise all the aggregates of mind. The feeling, the perception, the views, the opinion, the consciousness. Through delusion, you cannot understand. You grasp, you hold, you cling. That's why suffering is the result, the Buddha said. In short, first noble truth, final summary. It is due to one's self-delusion, ignorance, that condition the individual form and mind to grasp and cling to this 5 aggregate of form and mind that I call suffering. That's why he said, upadana kandas, the 5 aggregate of grasping, constitute suffering. If you don't grasp and cling, there is no suffering. And then you understand form is just form. It goes the way of nature. So when you confront old age, sickness and death, you got this contemplative wisdom born of constant reflection and contemplation. This is a second turning wisdom, Cittamaya Panya, that the Buddha taught. So when you have that wisdom, you will know form is impermanent. Form is non-self, not me. Otherwise, it won't go the way of nature. Otherwise, it won't tend towards suffering. So like anatta lakkhana is very clear. The Buddha asked, This form, is it permanent or impermanent? So the disciple replied, O Lord, it's impermanent. Yeah. Then the Buddha again asked, whatever that is impermanent, does it bring about everlasting joy or suffering? The disciple quickly replied, it brings about suffering. Yeah. Then he asked again, this form, does it listen to you? The disciple said, no, when you want to get sick, you never ask permission. When you're about to die, you never ask permission. Then, does it tend towards happiness or suffering? Then, because it's impermanent, the disciple, no, it tends towards suffering if you attach anything. So the Buddha very clearly said, since form tends towards suffering and is impermanent and it does not bring about everlasting happiness and peace, is it right for you to say, this form belongs to me, this form is what I am, therefore this form can own all these things? Then the disciple quickly, through wisdom, understood the message very clearly. He told the Buddha, no, form does not belong to self. For if it belongs to self, it will not tend towards suffering, it will not change. It will be able to listen to what you want. Means you can fulfill your wish, because if that form itself belongs to you, may you not get old, may you not get sick and die. But because it doesn't belong to you, there is no permanent, unchanging entity within, which you can call self. That's why it goes towards nature, it tends towards nature. So this understanding will bring forth great understanding or wisdom that will make your mind very strong, like what Brother Uy went through. It can actually understand the reality of form. Then like the Buddha said, if you don't attach, grasp and cling through delusion, then that consciousness is pure consciousness. Feeling become pure feeling, no more grasping. Then the mind does not react. Understand that? Sankara does not create problem. That's why there is peace. That's why you say, despite all this, he maintained the calm mind to confront, to understand. Actually, all this can be understood. And you will know how to accept this reality and just endure through understanding. That's why when you are confronted with disease and sickness, especially when you get old, the Buddha always said, second turning of the first noble truth, he said, this noble truth of suffering is to be understood. So you must reflect and contemplate. How can I understand this? Noble truth of suffering. The only way to understand it is when you are confronting it, when you are going through it. And that is the best time. Then when you confront it with mindfulness, awareness and understanding, then you realize it is the mind that decides. Because you hold the key to your own life destiny, correct or not? To be happy or to be peaceful or miserable is entirely your choice. If you choose to react and become miserable, that is because of your ignorance, your delusion, your attachment. Because you want things your way. You want your body to be forever young. Don't get old, don't get sick, and don't die. It's impossible because it goes the way of nature. It doesn't belong to anybody. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, this can be mine. It's impossible. That's why the noble truth is very clear. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta is very clear. So when you understand the mind is free, then the mind realizes, like the Buddha said, Rupang Anicchang, form is impermanent. Rupang Anatta, form is non-self, empty. So you understand why the Buddha asked the monk to chant every morning, early morning chanting. The five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent. They are non-self. They are empty. That's why when you are in Thailand, you will hear the monk chanting 3:45 a.m. very early. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, and very clear. And when I heard this chanting for the first time, my heart opened up and the nature just arose. There was so much joy, and deep within, the tears just came out. And this is the real Dhamma, the truth, that the nature had understood for so long. And it was repeated with the right condition. That's why everything became very clear after that. Then they repeat, Vedana anicchang, Vedana anatta. So the Buddha said, not only form is impermanent and non-self, empty, even your feeling, your perception, your activity of mind, sankhara, and consciousness, they are all the same. That's why in the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, under Prajna Paramita Sutta, said the same. When Avalokiteshvara, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, was cultivating this Prajna Paramita, he suddenly illuminated with his wisdom light the five aggregate of form and mind. Then he realized they were all empty, without any permanent unchanging entity that you can call self. Then she became completely enlightened, and she passed over birth and death. He transcend birth and death, overcome all suffering. So the teaching is the same when you understand. So if you reflect, contemplate deep, the wisdom will protect you. Then you will understand a very important reality. Form and mind go the way of nature, follow nature's law. This is the reality. If I want things my way, which is not nature's way, not able to get what you want will lead to suffering. Then you understand what the Buddha's teaching is all about. The First Noble Truth Reality. Not able to get what you want, when your expectations are not met, suffering will arise. Means through your delusion, through your ignorance, self-delusion, you grasp, you cling, and want things your way. So when you confront old age, sickness, and death, the Buddha said, you got two choices. Attach, grasp, cling, and react, and become miserable. Second one is via wisdom, accept the reality, stay calm, peaceful, then free your mind, because this is what destiny is about. You hold the key to your own life destiny, then you got two choices. One, through delusion, grasp, cling, and become miserable, react and complain, project your thought. Blame others, blame yourself. The other one is with wisdom, accept that this is what reality is all about. This is the nature of form. Form goes the way of nature. That's why the Buddha said, it's of the nature to decay, get old, be diseased and die, for he has not gone beyond. So form is non-self, not you. So why do you worry about the form going that way? Just let it be. Just like a car, when it's beyond economic repair, what you do? You condemn it inside. Then you change to a new car. Need to claim insurance, claim. So do what you have to do. When you are sick, you need to see a doctor, see a doctor. You need to consult somebody who is in a position to help you. Do what is necessary. That is more tangible. That is what you can do. Not to go and worry about it. Not to go and become miserable over it and unhappy over it. Well, all these are delusion, sankhara, thought. When mind does not grasp, cling, react, it's peaceful. When mind understand and accept the reality and be at peace, it will never stir. It will be in the state of equanimity. Then mind is mind, body is body. The two are separate entities. That's why the first insight, jnana knowledge, is to be able to discern clearly between form and mind. What is form? What is mind? Nama rupa paricchena jnana. That is the first of the 16 insight knowledge. And this one is very powerful. When you meditate and silence your mind, you can develop this type of wisdom. And the mind and the body, the form, they are different entities. If it's not due to craving, delusion and ignorance that condition you to grasp and hold, this mind is very clear. It can stand above, like the lotus. It arises from the lotus pond, filthy, dirty, with all the whatever impurity. But when it arises, when it blossoms, it stands above, understand? It still lives within the lotus pond. It still lives within the world, but it's not disturbed by the world, understand? Not affected by the world. That's why lotus is a great symbol of all the great Buddhas and great beings, Bodhisattva. So thank you so much for your sharing, Brother Ui. I rejoice. Okay, I think we have we exceeded our quota by 5 minutes. So now we will go to the second session. Second session is we will continue from where we stopped. Those who are new, they may not have the notes. So if you don't have the note, you bear with us. We are at page 8, 5.3.7. These are the notes compiled from my talk. It's based on a partial transcript. One of the sisters did it. Okay, 5.3.7. Vigilance or awareness is not discipline or focused attention. This is a very important understanding. Here I will explain to you what is focused attention or disciplined attention. That's why in the retreat, a lot of those cultivators who don't understand, they apply thought-based meditation, end up doing this focused attention and discipline attention. Okay, I read on. Then hopefully you can develop the understanding. Then what did Krishnamurti say? This vigilance is not a disciplined attention. For those who are new, you have to go back to the definition in the earlier page. Just like what I had told you all earlier. How do you discipline? And do you know what discipline is? Just like in the military, full of discipline. You must do this, you must do that. This one sounds familiar. You must know this and you must know that. You must meditate like that. And all these are discipline, attention, or focus attention. Understand or not? But awareness has got nothing to do with the thought. So this is a key difference. Awareness or sati or mindfulness is just aware before the knowing. So that's why it's very different. And when they do all those meditation, they didn't ask who disciplined. The thought wants to discipline. The thought wants to be aware. The thought wants to maintain attention. And the worst is, the thought wants to, what is that word? Meditate. Because the funny part about living being is, when they say meditate, there must be a meditator, isn't it? Correct or not? True or not? I ask you a very simple question, very logical, isn't it? When I want to meditate, there must be a meditator, isn't it? Otherwise, how to meditate? Correct or not? So who meditate? The meditator, But who is the meditator? The thought itself, isn't it? So Jai Krishnamurti said, because he penetrated and he understood, you know what he said or not? Whenever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. You understand or not? Yeah. You want me to write down? Yeah? Want or not? Yeah? I write down. Yeah? So you all repeat. Yeah? What is it? What did Krishnamurti say? Huh? Ah, very good. Whenever there is a meditator, I have to put inverted comma. Data. There is no meditation. Understand? You understand this statement or not? What did the Buddha say about meditation? Yeah? Heedfulness, isn't it? Ever mindful, eh? To cultivate noble eightfold path, isn't it? He never say, yeah, use the thought to cultivate noble eightfold path. No? That's why he said, kaya nupasana. Yeah? When you walk, okay, this form and mind walk. Understand not? The mind is aware. Understand? What is that mind? It's not the thinking mind. It's not the thought. No. It's the awareness. Sati. Aware. Understand? That's why it's no more thought-based. Understand? No more forethought effort. Understand not? It's just sati. Everything is about sati. So, whenever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. You know? Meditation is the silent, choiceless awareness of what is. When you are not silent, how can you meditate? Understand not? Correct or not? When you are not silent, how can you see things as they are? Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Agree or not? Either you are thinking, lost in thought, or you are silent and aware. True or not? When you are lost in thought means what? You are preoccupied with what you think. Understand not? And when your mind can only do that, how can it be aware of the reality? Understand now? What is going on within life? So that's why wherever there's a meditator, which is the thought trying to note and do all these funny things, you cannot understand what is going on. Because it's noisy inside, understand now? It's not silent. And it's busy doing. Doing what? Meditation in the name of what? Eh? Your views and opinion about meditation. Understand not? That's why you act from a conditioned mind. The mind that has all the views and opinion about meditation. Meditation must be like that. Meditation must have a technique and a method. You must note like that. You must sit like that. You must walk like that. But life is not like that. Understand not? Life is everything natural. Understand not? Nature has its own law that governs all of life and existence. Meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand the way things are. That's why the Buddha says, see things as they are. Understand the laws that governs nature. How this law actually conditions everything to be what it is. That's why the Buddha says, the whole world, the phenomenal world, is a condition arising world. Remember? If it's not because of the condition arising world, there is no such thing as life, existence. Yeah. That if it's not because of the existence of the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world is impossible. Remember? So that is the meaning. If you want to realize the unconditioned, that's why if you chant salutation to the Dhamma, what did the Buddha say? This Dhamma is sanditiko. Sanditiko means what? Can be realized in the here and the now before you die. Okay? The present moment, you can awaken. You can realize Nibbana. No need to wait until death. Then akaliko. Akaliko means this Dhamma is timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. If you have a meditator which is thought based, the instrument you use is thought. How can you realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought? Timeless. Impossible. Isn't it? Because the instrument you use limits you. That's why the Buddha said you must be aware. Don't think. And then you will insight into phenomena. You will awaken to the universal characteristic without words. So that's why Krishnamurti penetrated. That's why he understand. Okay? So we go on. Yeah? Then you will understand clearer. And what happens when the meditator, which is the thought, is actively, so actively meditating? This is a very good question. You are no longer aware, true or not? But you are so active inside that, chattering, commenting, doing all those so-called meditation. Now you can laugh. But last time, you just follow instruction and do without understanding. You are just being gullible. You recall the early years when you at the retreat, because you just follow instruction. And what is behind your thought is, you call that faith. No? If I follow instruction, I am doing vipassana. Grand. I am doing vipassana meditation, insight meditation. If I don't know, I'm not doing vipassana. Then you didn't even find out what is vipassana. Vipassana is an insight. It cannot be done. You cannot do vipassana. You cannot cultivate vipassana. Vipassana is an awakening, a wisdom that awakens when the condition is fulfilled with the silent mind. So vipassana, you cannot cultivate one. You have to insight into one. We are the direct seeing, understand? You have to silence your mind, otherwise you cannot awaken. That's why the Buddha said, you have to see things as they are. Then the silent mind, through sati, mindfulness, daily mindfulness, you awaken to the truth and the reality. So now you start to understand. Then, next paragraph. This vigilance is not a disciplined attention. Because once the thought is active, then you are no longer in sati already. This one now you can understand. For sati is awareness or the silent before the thinking or the knowing. Since vigilance or sati is an extensive awareness which is choiceless as opposed to disciplined attention which is thought-based, hence the reason why J. Krishnamurti go on to say that disciplined attention gives strength to the self. Correct? When you discipline through the thought, the egoic mind is very strong, isn't it? You must note this, you must note that, you must walk like that. So who is this you, he? This is the ego, strengthen the egoic self. So disciplined attention gives strength to the self. This is because when the user of thought is deluded, then thought will be egoic. So before you are enlightened, if you use thought that way, thought-based meditation, it will lead to the self-delusion, egoic mind. Egoic means self-centered. So when you try to discipline, and when you try to meditate with the thought, or when you try to be aware, it is already a disciplined attention. Already. Because the trying is by the thought. Understand? If you understand what sati is or mindfulness is, you will not do all those foolish things. Asana. Try to be aware. Try to be mindful. Who is trying? The thought. And when you use the thought to be mindful, you don't understand what mindfulness is. That's why those who understand, they'll come to this very clear understanding. The moment you are silent, without thought, you are already aware and mindful. Correct? Right? When you don't think, you are already mindful, peaceful. Your original state of mind was like that when you were born as a baby. The baby, no memory, no thought. That's why they very cute, very naive. They see things as they are. But you forgot about those early day type of experiences or mind because you got no memory of it. Then when you grew up, Everybody teach you how to use thought, understand not? Identify yourself, give you a name, give you a birth cert, identity card later on. Then your mother or whoever who take care of you, your guardian, they will teach you thought-based activity and memory. They call you by name. Then they teach you, this is Papa, Mama. You cognize again, you perceive words, concept coming, thought. That's the beginning of what they call using of thought. That's why the beginning of thought is the beginning of registration. That's why thought is respond to memory. Without registration or accumulation into memory, there is no thought. That's why it all started that way. Now you start to understand, huh? And meditation is about understanding all this. To be like a baby yet with all the memory and the condition. That is the real meditation. Can you still see things as they are with all the memory and the conditioning? That's why Krishnamurti say can. Understand? As long as you have the wisdom, the understanding and the clarity. Because you can see the two are different. The one that is aware and the one that is conditioned arising, they are two separate entities. Understand? The conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, is the byproduct of this true nature. Understand? Understand? Just like what I explained last time. If you look at all the external form, this table, whatever that you perceive, the fan, the light, my form, whiteboard, my voice, my vibration. All these are external form. Understand? Rupa. So this external form, how do you know them? How do you know them? You perceive them. Understand? So that's why they have no reality. The Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. Understand? So perception of form, like the Surangama Sutta say, is consciousness, mind make. Understand? Whereas the direct seeing, the non-perception, is wisdom. Means you see things as they are, not through the conditioned mind, without any concept, words, or label. So these two are complete different mind. Understand? So meditation is about having this wisdom to see things as they are, despite the memory and the conditioning. So this is what you need to develop as understanding. Because the conditioned mind is like that. Understand now? So Krishnamurti said, if you look at all the external phenomenal world, they come from what? Consciousness. Correct now? Perception of external form, phenomenal world is consciousness. So consciousness is this mundane mind. Understand now? Correct now? So mundane mind can create external form. Understand now? So like this table. Form. F-O-R-M. They are the product of thought. Correct not? Human being, use thought, go and gather raw material, then skillfully shape it, you call construct, or build, or you put it together. Then finish it off, then it arrives and as well. So this table, which is one of the typical external form, is a product of thought. Correct not? That's why thought can see this table, can see form. Understand not? So thought can see all this external phenomenal world that thought create. Understand not? Through condition arising state. Upon contact consciousness come to be, that it arises. Then Einstein has already told you, E equals to mc squared. Understand not? That's why all external form, these are all trapped energy. Understand not? Where these are matter. Mass, understand not? You times the square of the speed of light, it becomes energy. That's why it can transform. Understand not? That's why the whole universe is in equilibrium. Understand not? You study physics, science, law of conservation of mass and energy, you heard before that. You heard it before that, unless you are not a science student. They always tell you nothing is created nor destroyed. Understand? Well, it's just transformation. Law of transformation. So, law of conservation of mass and energy means they are always in a state of equilibrium or balance. It's only how they transform through the state. That's why you can create nuclear bomb through a very small mass, because the energy is C squared, speed of light squared, very powerful. When you release this trapped energy, it becomes very powerful. So when we understand that whatever that is product of thought, thought can see. Understand now? Likewise, thought is the product of what? How does your thought come about, arise? Your true mind, isn't it? Your true nature, isn't it? Is condition arising, isn't it? So likewise, awareness can see thought. Understand now? Your thought is a product of nature, awareness. But thought cannot see that awareness, understand? Just like this table cannot see your mind, understand? Because they are of lower intelligence. They are the product of thought, understand? So when thought is a product of that awareness or that nature which has higher intelligence, where it is the one responsible for its arising, then awareness can see thought. And because we come to this world, karmically conditioned out for us to use is the physical body, which is form, and the thought, anasana. And these two, the only thing that can see them is awareness, anasana. That's why when awareness see form and mind, it understand what this form and mind is. And through that understanding, which is wisdom, you become enlightened. The form and mind no longer deluded, anasana. Then it does not have to suffer, anasana. But this form and mind is conditioned arising. It's not you, understand? So do not be deluded by it. And this is how you develop the wisdom. This is why it's anatta, non-self, not you. But that karmically conditioned form and mind, which is your this segment of life, is a very beautiful vehicle, understand? Tool for you to use. But this one is subject to the conditioned world's nature's law. It is subject to impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. That's why without wisdom, you will cling, you will grasp, you will get yourself entangled, and you will become miserable. But when you have the wisdom, when you have the direct seeing, this wisdom is the one that protects that form and mind. Understand? Then this one, no longer deluded, no longer gullible, it will not grasp and cling and hold. It will use it to live life. Understand? Like this body, when I understand, it's so beautiful that I use it to live. Means what? I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick, and one day die. Isn't it? Correct not? Correct not? Well, it's not me. It's element. Goes the way of nature. When the conditions are there, life force, consciousness, and this physical body is still able to support this consciousness inside, then it animates this human being into like a living reality, understand? Then you say, brother Theo, arise already, understand? But this is not me, understand? This is this segment of the karmically conditioned form of mind. This human being you call brother Theo, arise already, understand? But this is not me, understand? If I deludedly grasp and cling, then I worry about this form getting old, getting sick, and one day will die. Then I will worry, brother Theo die. Then you all will be like Ananda. When Sakyamuni Buddha about to die, 3 months before that, Ananda cried like anything. He missed the Buddha so much. But the Buddha reprimanded him. He said, foolish one, this is not me. Then he asked him to stay. He said, this is like a worn-out buloka. You somehow want my consciousness to be trapped inside and to become afflicted by it. Even though he has the wisdom, but it's not something that he would like to carry for too long. You know what is a worn-out buloka? Worn-out means what? Not only wear and tear. worn out means completely wear and tear until about to collapse already, you know. Understand? Because it's already worn out, no? Not undergoing wear and tear. It's like finished already, final state. Means any time this form will collapse already. You somehow want the Buddha to use his psyche to carry this and live on. It's crazy, you know? Madness, isn't it? That's why this one goes the way of nature. When it comes, the time comes, let it be. Understand? That's why you can, like my teacher Achayantra used to tell me, you must learn how to die before you die. And that is the true wisdom. You know what is die before you die? Huh? You must understand what is death. Understand? And then you know how to die before you die. Understand? Then the other deeper meaning is, you must know how to die before you die is to become enlightened first. Die of all the defilement. When all the defilement die, you become enlightened. Isn't it? You must know how to die before you die means the defilement die and you become enlightened. And you live the third phase of Dhamma. Remember? Pativeda. That is the most beautiful part of your life. Then the other thing is, you must know how to die before you die. Means you know what death is. And as a separation of consciousness from the form. That's why when I was 9 years old, my consciousness came out. I actually died. That's why I know how to die before I die. I know what death is. And there is no one to die. It's just a condition, the craving force sees that this consciousness come out. And this one is not me. It's a random of consciousness. But we got not time to die yet. That nature very strong. Somehow it came back. Then that time I still so young, I don't know Dhamma, I don't know what is it. But very funny, you know, even at that age, before I have the Dhamma and the understanding, I really know how to die. I saw the whole craving force, how it sits, how it detached from this physical body, and how all the consciousness come back into one and how it come out from this one. Nobody teach me. Yeah. And I saw it so clearly. Yeah. Then I also know how it went in also. That's why when you know how to die, you will not be deluded by what death is. Because nothing die, no one die. That's why this word which my teacher always tell me, you must know how to die before you die. I like it so much. Because that time I really understood. That's why the beauty about the Dhamma is it will explain to you very clearly what death is all about. That's why no one die, no one born. That's why in the Heart Sutta, you remember? Yeah? There is no birth, no old age, sickness and death. Neither is there any ending of birth, old age, sickness and death. Understand that? When you realize true emptiness, 真空. In true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. Even Four Noble Truths also doesn't exist. That's why you will get a shock of your life. What the hell is going on? Buddha teach Four Noble Truths. Heart Sutta say Four Noble Truths also not there. Then no one to attain, no one to become enlightened. Then you look, wow, like they meditate for one. No one to be enlightened. If there is someone to be enlightened, then that is not the enlightenment that the Buddha teach. And because there is no one to be enlightened, that is the real Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Because it's anatta, non-self. Okay? So, can follow that, yeah? Up to this stage, yeah? Slowly, yeah? This is very difficult topic, because of condition, we can have a chance to discuss this. These are mainly not for the present moment living being, for those up there. They also want to know. But later on, all this recording will be very useful. I hope it's recorded. Maybe you can check. You know how to check whether recorded. Because Miss Lee said it. I don't know. She seldom said. So just in case it's not recorded. Is it moving? Ah, good. Don't touch anything. Just put it back. Thank you so much. So you're lucky, record. Okay, we move on. The second paragraph, somewhere towards the end. And when the thought is there, you give it mental energy. And this will strengthen the self, the ego, which is the personality. Then what happens? You can no longer see things as they are because you are preoccupied with the doing via the thought. Hence, you lack clarity. So now, understand, when you are lost in thought, means your mind is preoccupied with that thinking, anasana, the reaction, that so-called activity. That's why sankhara, very active. Whereas awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced, and there is nobody inside there to be aware. Now, this is the big difference, understand not? Because that nature, that true mind, that awareness is not you, understand not? It's not a person inside there, understand? It's that nature that is eternally like that, understand not? Because that is the unconditioned. It cannot come out and live, understand not? It's not a person, understand not? But it can be connected. And it can allow you to have the direct seeing, because this is beyond thought, silent mind. Understand not? That one is the true mind, no words on. But can see things as they are, because there is clarity. When there is thought, means like you are clouded, understand not? That nature is being clouded. So when there is this cloud that clouds you, you cannot penetrate the cloud, understand? Like the sun's ray cannot reach you, understand? And you see only like different type of sky, understand? Oh, today cloudy, today rainy, today sunny, today maybe misty. All these are the thing that cloud in front, understand? Just like your vision. If you wear a glass, if you tint it, then you will see through your tinted glass, understand? Then if it's stained, you will see through your stained glass. That's what delusion is all about. There is no clarity. You don't see things as they are. You see through your conditioned mind, your thinking mind, your thought. Okay, we go on. Whereas awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced and there is nobody inside there to be aware. It is just an awareness nature. Now you can follow, which is the essence of mind, the silent mind, which is just aware, a general, spacious, or specific phenomenal awareness before the knowing or labeling via thought or the aggregates of mind. Clear or not? Yeah? Now it's a lot clearer than that. If you still cannot understand, you better ask. Yeah? Understand not? Yeah? We are this one just aware. No one inside there, understand not? When you are without thought, what happened? The moment you are aware that you are without thought is before the knowing, understand not? But the moment you know, thought come out already, understand not? Understand not? That's why it's so fast. That's why these two and the brain, they are so near now. Because when I went into the sensation, I saw. Then this one, the moment it comes out, zoom, like a dynamo, zoom, everything come out. All the information there already. Then the knowing all from here, thought is respond to memory. That's why my nature can understand. But it saw all this creation, how it start and how it cease, then how it come out again. All the dependent origination, you saw them all creating, disappearing. Use the mind. Can. Use the mic. Push it out.
Sorry to interrupt.
Don't worry.
Can
it's
I
okay.
ask, is it, when you talk about awareness, is there another mind watching awareness? It sounds like when you're meditating.
Very, very good question.
When you're aware.
This is what most people were asked. You see, awareness is not something you can understand through your thought. That is very important. So what is normally done, the so-called meditator, they say they try to be mindful, they try to be aware. So they say there is another mind that is aware. Understand? What do you think? it's not what you see. You have to be very specific about mind. What mind are you talking about? If you talk about the true mind, then that statement is correct. There is another mind that can be aware of thought. But there is not a person who is aware of thought. If you say there is a mundane mind that is aware of that thought or that anger, that emotion, that's why a lot of people used to tell me what? Radio, after I get angrier, then only I aware, you know, I got anger. You think got such thing or not? Another thought become conscious of that anger, understand? When the mind stir, means this anger is condition arising. When it's condition arising, if your awareness is there, there is no word, understand? There is no one to be aware. But it's just the awareness and the emotion become one, understand? Like the body and the mind become one, understand? Understand? Feeling and the awareness become one. There is no one inside there, understand? It's just like when you are aware. The awareness and the perception become one before the mundane mind come and labor and perceive, understand? And tell you what this thing is, understand? So when your mind is aware with it, there is no word. There is no such thing. Another mind is aware of that thought. The moment you know there is that thought, you are no longer aware, understand? Chui, okay. Pass the mic to Chui. This is a very good question. So at least you ask, then there is condition to explain. Very good.
Brother Teo, based on what?
Yeah.
Our fellow
Mrs. Ui. Mrs. Ui.
I'm a Ui also, by the way.
She's Ui Chui Fun. Also another
After
Ui.
What Mrs. Ui has said and what you have explained, the true mind, yeah, is therefore just awareness.
Yeah.
That's
before
it.
The knowing.
There's no need to even call it a true mind,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Is that
before
correct?
The knowing, understand? And that awareness can be with the phenomena, one with it, understand? That's why it is very different. It can be spacious awareness, one with everything, understand? Where the awareness is not apart from anything. When it's just silent without a center, you are actually the oneness. That's why that nature. But that one can also manifest as awareness, specific phenomenal awareness. That's why you can use the awareness. It's not a personal, but through that wisdom and the understanding, the awareness can come out and the mind can be with that phenomena. Understand? It's just like body and mind as one. Understand? When you pay respect. No thought on. You don't try to be mindful at all. Try to be mindful. I mean, the thought try to be aware of all the movement. Then it's the thought again. But when body and mind is one, it's just like I tell you, swimming, don't try to know. Swim first. You try until you know what swimming is. Then when you know how to float, then when you really know how to swim, no explanation. Because you already know how to swim. It's your body and mind as one. Then swimming becomes your second nature. You don't have to... People ask you, how you swim? Huh? You know what your answer is? Swim lah, understand? Where got how to swim? Where got learn how to swim and try to swim? When you learn means you don't know how to swim, understand? That's why you need to learn, understand? Like riding a bicycle, why must you practice and learn how to ride? Because you still don't know, understand? But when you know already, you're skillful already, when you know how to balance, people ask you, hey, how you learn? No need to learn, just ride lah, understand? Understand? Like swimming, swim lah. But they all mong cha cha, they still don't know how to swim, understand? But when you are going through, then you need to learn. And that learning is always thought-based, understand? So when you understand already, you don't use thought already, understand? A very good example is, you all ladies, you cook at home, right? You fry veggie, you cook whatever dish. Initially, when you learn, what you do? You buy cookbook, you have to weigh. Then you put everything ready. Then you use your thought. Okay, this one so much, this one. Then you pour inside. Then when you fry also, like cartoon one, not smooth one. Then sometimes you're not careful, the oil spill on you and you cannot burn. Then you're not skillful. But after some time of practice or whatever, then when you become skillful, you know what you do or not? No, they weigh machine, nothing. From the smell, you know already whether good or not. Then whether you're going to add what or not. Initially, you got to taste. Take a bit and taste. Later on, everything also no need one. You just know what to do. This is from experience. Understand. And when you understand, you spontaneously cook. How you fry, how you turn the wok and the what they call the frying pan. Not the frying pan. That thing what you call, the chow. Later. How you move. You see, you will tell people, what you mean how? You just know. Understand? You just understand. No thought. But when you need to slowly like that correct. Means you are not skillful yet. It's not part of you yet. But when it's part of you, no thought one. The movement and the awareness is one. Like badminton. They play until the stroke and the awareness is one. That's why they flick and it's very potent. That's why mindfulness, if it's there, you will know one. No words one. When you are already mindful, you will understand what mindfulness is one. Before you understand what sati is or what awareness is, don't try to understand. Understand now? Just go and do. Do until when you understand, you have it already. Understand now? Like swimming, like cooking, like riding a bicycle. When you already skillful, means sati is there, then you realize everything is one. Understand now? There is no gap one. If there is a gap, like badminton, you like want to hit the time, the shuttlecock and the racket not synchronized. Then when you hit, you either miss or the stroke is not effective. And you don't know how to apply the strength. Because the moment you flick, that racket and the movement is not one. But when it's one, it's very powerful. And together with the shuttlecock at the same time, you return. It's very powerful. Yeah. Table tennis also the same.
Brother Teo, I just have a comment to add.
No problem.
And that is that, well, a lot of people talk about true mind, and for a very long time I was trapped in this thing about the true mind until I understood what awareness is all about. But the point is, people should, you know, for us ordinary laymen that is suffering through all these things, the terminology is actually superfluous. We shouldn't even use the word true mind at all.
But so you cannot blame living being. Because living being's problem is of it. Living beings' problem is they want to know. And I had an email from that Singapore girl recently. You remember the Singapore girl? Last time asked me some question. Then I said, no point. You're wasting your time. It's like the Buddha said, when you are shot with a poison arrow, you refuse to be treated. You want to know who shoot you, what poison they use. By the time you know, you will die. So all this question is, he said, this question are bothering me. If I don't get it clear up, I will not start cultivation. Like that. Very difficult. But you cannot understand. So recently she was more careful, more thankful. After I reply, I haven't shared with you all. Because he suddenly saw my reply on the five aggregate of form and mind. Then, yeah, he heard my talk in Klang, the emptiness talk. You remember? She was full of joy. He said, I never heard things like that before. Then he said, pardon me. He said, I still got question after hearing your talk. He said, now I understand this five aggregate of form and mind. He said, condition arising, not me. But he wants to know. Is it because this thing is bothering her? Is it people tell her, Sammasambuddha, after parinibbana, no more rebirth. Is this true? Is it? That was one of the questions. Then the other one is, apart from Buddha and Bodhisattva, these great beings, who come with this form of mind and they can connect, can ordinary being like me, is it, who one day become serious cultivator, also connect? She asked like that. I said, you ask like that, I will answer you, but no more further question after that. go and cultivate. More important is cultivate. If you don't cultivate, keep on asking, no use, huh? It will not benefit you. Understand? That's why you go and cultivate. Yeah. So what do you think? Yeah? According to the text, yeah, everybody will tell you, Buddha after Parinibbana, no more. What do you think? Huh? What do you think? I told her, this is a very sensitive question. I said, don't try to know. Otherwise, it will give you a lot of problems. Hey, end up in what? Argument on you. Correct or not? Right and wrong. But I say, because she was so tactful, I actually answered her. I said, if you follow the text, most of them will tell you, no more. Because the Buddha, under Dhammapada words, after his enlightenment, what did he say? Old house builder, I have known you. Thy rich pole and rafter has been shattered. This is my last birth. Remember? The Buddha said? Remember not? So everybody say, hey, Buddha said this is my last birth. No more. Wow, you cultivate until so long, so many aeons, after that, one life, finish. Like that. Got meaning or not? Because the Buddha is not that form and mind. That form and mind, no more rebirth. Correct. Last birth. That form and mind, no more karmic condition type of birth. Understand or not? Understand or not? But the Buddha nature is always there. Understand or not? The perfection. And if the vow and all those conditions are set, it can choose to come again, understand? But in a different type of condition and form of mind. It will never have those conditions anymore, understand? Like to be a Sama Sambuddha, as a Sakya family, to be Sakyamuni Buddha, all those things. That one is very, very long condition that is established through the early vow, understand? That one, no more, understand? But that nature can actually condition form and mind to come. No problem at all. Anytime. Yeah. Based on the understanding. Based on the vow. Understand? That's why Amitabha got Pure Land. Understand? And he's everywhere within Pure Land. Understand? Kuan Yin is everywhere within the nature's law. It's how you understand and manifest. That's why don't try to understand all this. It's way beyond your understanding. Not until you have developed the wisdom and the cultivation, you can never understand all this. Yeah. Understand? So, I hope one day, if there is condition, I will share with you what they wrote to me. There are nowadays a lot of these people, even though you say they use a lot of thought and logic, but some of their questions are somewhat relevant and interesting. And I received another one which was very sincere, very, very good. That one I will share later. He's asking me, because of her cultivation, whether she can go the Bodhisattva way or not to become Samasambuddha, because according to her, it's not easy. Earlier on, like, impossible and all those things. And I just hinted to her, I said, impossible is because your thought tell you, understand? Thought project, and thought will give you a lot of reason. You think you can, aeons on. So this thought, when it project, it creates fear. It creates what? Lack of faith, lack of confidence. But what is important is, to walk this path, you only need to be very sincere, understand? Forget about the thought. Just do, understand? And the path will be there. The way, and it's not difficult when you understand. That's why I say, one day you've got condition. I say, not only you, there are many who wanted to understand all this. When there is condition, we will have a separate private session. Then you will actually rejoice and develop a lot of understanding. Then your faith will be different. Okay? Sadhu, I rejoice. Okay, any more question? Otherwise, we continue. Did I answer your question? Good. So, initially, Don't try to use the thought to rationalize to understand. It's okay to have an idea now that there is another mind that is aware. But that mind, you must know, is the true mind. So the true mind that is aware is one with that thing. If it's not one with that thing, it cannot be aware. But that one is not a person. It's not a thought. It's before the knowing. But that one is a oneness nature. But that oneness nature can be with specific phenomena. It can be without a center or with specific phenomena. Because we have this form and mind that is the vehicle and the tool to connect us to that thing. That's why when the cultivator comes, this form and mind that takes birth, karmically conditioned form and mind, which you call the human being. This one, very important. This one must develop the cultivation, develop the ability to develop the silent mind. Then it must connect to the true mind. And when it's connected to the true mind, then totally different. That's why this true mind, this oneness, this nature, without a form and mind, without a vehicle, karmically conditioned, you cannot connect. And when you cannot connect, means you cannot make use of it. Understand? And this one can only retain wisdom, nothing else. Understanding. It's the embodiment of all virtue and wisdom and understanding, all the perfection. Yeah. But not everybody has this. Not every being has this. I finish off this one. Because this one requires cultivation for aeons and aeons of perfection and cultivation, and it becomes your spiritual nature. And this spiritual nature slowly, slowly evolve on the setup. Then as it evolves, you can only connect and what they call receive or inherit. The other word is inherit. Inherit whatever you have cultivated. Whatever you haven't cultivated, you cannot inherit. It's not there. Then this life, or life after life, you have to continue with the perfection and cultivation until this is full. And then you have that Buddha nature. You have that spiritual body, Sambhogayakaya, ready to come in. That's why the great beings, the great Bodhisattva, they have this nature perfected. That's why they are very different. I sent out one email for some personal sharing. Only a few people receive it. That one is from one of the sutta in Mahayana, Lotus Sutta. Wu Liang Yi Jing. You heard of this, Wu Liang Yi Jing. That talks about the qualities of these great bodhisattvas and Buddhas. How they actually train their mind, how they perfect their perfection, and how they actually maintain their vow for eons and eons, and they live day by night by the Dhamma. And their special qualities. These are from that Mahayana Sutta. It's very beautiful. Okay, maybe I just share this. You bear with me. I need to retrieve it from the email. Okay, I got it. Okay. This one, when I have more condition, I will share more. This is what I wrote. Then a lot of them replied and wrote to me too, but I don't have time to share. Sutra on the innumerable meaning, chapter 1, on virtue. You listen, eh? True bodhisattvas are wise beings with great compassion. This one can follow, eh? Cannot. Their minds are tranquil, ever abiding in meditation, peaceful, free from desire, and immune from any kind of delusion or wrong thought. Theirs is a mind of transcendental purity, with vast and profound vows. They hold these vows unwavering for countless aeons. Having realized great wisdom, they penetrate all law and come to understand all the innumerable teachings. That's why it's called the Sutta of Innumerable Meaning. They, the Bodhisattva, brings refreshing coolness and help cleanse away ignorance. With boundless compassion, they work to relieve and liberate suffering beings. Bodhisattvas are living beings' true friend, mentor, and guide. They help and enable living beings to cultivate a great field of merits and blessing. Without being asked, they offer guidance to living beings. They are living beings' place of refuge, security, and happiness. They uphold the Buddha's precept of purity and never break them, even at the cost of their life. They never become angry, even when harm, curse, or insulted. Their mind abides in Dhamma day and night. They abide by their vows of saving the countless living beings and purifying the world of all negativity. So this is what is written in the Sutta of Innumerable Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. So I hope it can inspire you. So this is what you will come to understand finally when you have the condition to go this way. So these are all documented even in the Mahayana Sutta. So it's not just what I tell you. And I like this particular one because by accident I spotted this book written by Ciji, the Zhenyan Fa Si. There was one book that mentioned a little bit about this. I was with my wife at this Jing Siyi, Tropicana, they got an outlet there. Because that day he said, want to buy some candle for our Rupang. So I went with her. Then she was choosing the candle. Oh, this candle very good. No, no wax one. No. All burn until 100% dry out. No wax, nothing on. Even wick also don't have one. Everything is combustible. Then when I was there, I was flicking through some book. Then I saw this book. Oh, I said, this is interesting. I also didn't know Mahayana Sutta got this type of book. And this is the part that I can understand very well. So that's why I bought the book. Then I came back, I just typed that thing inside. That's why I share with only some Kayanamitas who are interested and have the condition. So because of that, due to condition, this thing arise. And the timing, everything is just perfect. For the last 25 years, it never arise. But how come recently it arise? Because people are ready. There is this condition that demands it. That's why it will arise. That's why many things will happen, especially after this year. Even this year already, like I told you last year, I sense Dhamma will flourish within our Kayanamita grouping. And really, it flourishes like anything. It is so, like, so vibrant now, so full of enthusiasm, joy, everything. Now you can see almost everyone. They are so full of faith, diligent, and many things are just happening to their life. And some of them, they just amazed at what happened. They say the Dhamma can be like that. And it's not only one or two person, many are going through. So that's why the true Dhamma, when it touches your heart, it can transform living beings. And these are very beautiful condition. Okay, we go on. Eh? yes.
This is a burning question, Brother Teo.
Never mind.
It has to do with what you talked about, the true mind.
Yeah.
We talked about wisdom and we talked about awareness.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the true mind can encapsulate, maybe that's a wrong use of word, wisdom, can achieve wisdom. But when I looked at, I go back to my understanding of awareness, and I said just now that it actually is the true mind. But when I look at it, and the way you talk about wisdom, awareness does not mean that we can have wisdom, is it? Or is it automatically
embedded? Yeah, I understand.
No, I
understand.
So have I got my understanding wrong?
I understand your question, but you still cannot develop the understanding of what you want to know. You see, your question comes from what you understand at this moment, because with the limited understanding, this will be the question, but it's already very good. Sanat. Because to you, if you base on what I said earlier on, this true mind is just awareness. It cannot come out before the knowing. There is no word. Then how does it develop wisdom? Correct or not? That's why wisdom is not a word. Wisdom is not rigid. Wisdom is an understanding. So this one, when it awaken, it understand. Understand not? When it understand means, it's not a rigid word. Understand not? The understanding come from that nature. That's why the nature understand. And the nature has right view. That's why this right view will go into this form of mind. Understand not? But without this form of mind connected, you cannot tap that wisdom. You cannot tap that understanding. But this wisdom can only arise when the form and mind is connected and you use it to cultivate, and through the direct seeing, you awaken. Means the form and mind awaken. Understand? Wisdom is with this form and mind now because it's connected to this nature. It's through this direct seeing. Without the form and mind, this one, no meaning on. Understand? But it's not you, not a person. It cannot come out. But it's like karma, karmic nature. Understand? Then this one is spiritual nature. It will store everything there. Like your karmic nature. Like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditions. But you are what you are because of your karma. Every moment, every instant. Understand? Then you cannot go and say, hey, karmic nature, can show me what you understand. What is inside there? That karmic nature is an accumulation, summation of all these billions and billions and billions and aeons of birth and death. Understand? Then it's recorded in the nature's law. It becomes your nature. Understand? So like this spiritual nature, it becomes that nature. Understand? But it has to be connected. So like the karmic nature, when you are born, that form and mind arise. And then karmic nature start. Understand? That's why the Buddha said, you are born of your karma. Understand not? Means that one you cannot decide. Karma decide. Understand not? Then, because you are born of your karma, you also inherit what that karmic nature has. Understand not? That's why you are heir to your karma. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. Every moment, every instant, without a break. Understand not? So this form and mind is subject to karmic. But this form and mind cannot inherit spiritual nature. Understand? That is the big difference. It's not like karma. The moment you are born, it will come and condition you and do all those funny things to you. That's why the great beings, the enlightened one, they will take care of karma. Because they know this one very important. Because if you want to come to this world, even as a bodhisattva, you need a proper form of mind. Understand? Without a perfect, near to perfect or very, very good karmic nature, very difficult to come, understand not? Because without your vow, without your parami, without your blessing, this form and mind is very fragile, very, very vulnerable. Anything can happen. It will just be wiped off, understand not? Before you even can connect, understand not? That's why you remember this morning, again I repeat, at the Joyce house, we thank Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature for protecting us, guiding us, and blessing us all this while. And we actually aspire for Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature to continue to bless us, bless our nature, protect our nature, and guide our nature in all of our future endeavor until we realize our complete aspiration, until all of our aspiration, our vow, are fulfilled. Without this, it's very difficult to come, Anasana. Very, very difficult. Anything can go wrong. And before you even connect, your form and mind can be wiped off. Yeah. Then again, you got to start from square one. That's why this way is very difficult. Need a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding. But when you have the condition, it's not difficult. Because these are the beings that have gone through and they will support you. And if you know how to sincerely develop the faith and affinity, you will connect. Your nature will connect with their nature. And their nature will protect you like what other nature has protected them and guide them. And as this one evolves more and more, more and more, all these great beings, they become more and more wise, and they become more and more evolved. And it becomes more and more beautiful. Just like what I shared with them this morning. Of all the Sammasambuddha that came so far, the one with the most heavy and greatest vow is Amitabha Buddha. He got 48 very, very heavy vow. They call it 48大愿, means big vow, real big vow. You know, one of the vow is Amitabha Buddha, before he became a Sammasambuddha, he vowed, he said, if the pure world, the pure land that he wants to create, to help living being cultivate, should this pure land has any of these four woeful states, the hell rhyme, the animal rhyme, the peta rhyme, and the demon rhyme, he vowed not to attain the Sammasambuddha. He wants to create a pure land, that's why it's called pure, which is without hell, without animal rhyme, without the hungry ghost or peta rhyme, and without the demon rhyme. You see, how difficult is it to fulfill such a great vow? And he finally realized that vow. And he became a Sammasambuddha. And you know how long ago or not? You go and read the Amitabha Sutta that Sakyamuni spoke. Sakyamuni purposely spoke this sutta without request. No? Every time got condition, request only he speak. No? This time got condition, no request also he speak. According to Sakyamuni, you listen, the first sutta that will disappear during the Dhamma ending age is the Surangama Sutta, Leng Yan Qing, because the demons are very fearful of that sutta. But this Amitabha Sutta is very special, is it? Even after all the sutta disappear, this Amitabha Sutta will survive, is it? And this Amitabha Sutta very funny one, is it? He said, finally, because of Amitabha's great vow and great virtue and wisdom, even when nobody believed the Dhamma, anybody who believed in him will take birth in his pure land, will still have salvation. Understand? Oh. And towards the end, even the Dhamma disappear, the Sutta disappear, Amitabha Sutta, whoever who recite Namo Amitabha, you still take rebirth there, is it? With a sincere heart to connect. It becomes so simple, no? But when you in pure land, you still want to cultivate, no? You think very easy. But because of his vow, he is so unique and so great. So, my nature tell me is that if Amitabha Buddha can be like that, means the path is not difficult, understand, no? Such heavy vow, such difficult vow can be fulfilled, understand, no? There is nothing that you cannot fulfill if you have the sincerity and the resolve and the faith. That's why I told you three things carry you through. Faith, sincerity, and resolve, diligence, and so on. Forget about the thought telling you all this. Wow, 12. What they call asankaya kapa, no? Means 12 world cycle, no? You think you can do it? Oh, when the thought asks like that, you put chat already. I am better conservative, go arahan way, finish off safer. Then, your sainthood easier. So tapan first, maximum 7 line arahan. All these are thought, understand? You don't understand. That's why now you come to understand. Why Mahayana say, those who are going the Theravada or sainthood way, pardon me for repeating, they say, they have this thought, no? The thought of self-enlightenment first, understand? So because of that, they say, the arahant or the smaller vehicle or the Theravada vehicle, pardon me for repeating, it's not to mean anything, it's the use of word, is it? They are selfish in inverted comma. Because they already enlightened, how can they be selfish? But because before they become arahant, they make that choice, understand? To just finish off as arahant. So this is self-enlightenment, understand? Means the self is still there, understand? So nothing wrong with that, understand? But the actual cultivation is not what you think. It's not to choose like that one, but this is thought. The thought deceive you, understand? The real bodhisattva, they are different. The two words, bohi is what? Bohi stands for what? Enlightenment. Sattva is what? Sattva is being, isn't it? So what is a bodhisattva? Enlightened being who walk the path of Buddhahood, understand? To become sama-sama. They are already enlightened, understand? That's why they take this path. But of course, people will try to interpret through different meaning. Doesn't mean enlightened, is it? It's a sattva, human being, who aspire to become sama-sambuddha, understand not? Aspire for bohi, is it? Then no need to put bohi sattva, understand not? Sattva aspire for bohi, like that better. But people will interpret differently. So actually, it's also, in a way, not that wrong. Because they say, if I want to be a sama-sambuddha, I determine now. Then I make strong vow. But I'm still a putujana, that's not. So I make strong vow, I also bodhisattva. This one not bodhisattva yet. This putujana make vow, you can make vow. But to be a bodhisattva, you must have completed certain type of training. Like the Buddha mentioned under the chronicle of the Buddha. Before he met Dipankara Buddha, remember? Dipankara Buddha predicted that he will be a Sammasambuddha. Then when he looked back, the Jataka story, how he started. That's why you look at read the chronicle. He said, the condition for you to receive a prediction to be a Sammasambuddha, to walk the path of Bodhisattva, first one is, you must have already realized arahantship. But of course, in the sutta, they say, you have to renounce that one. Anasana. So they say, you have the ability, but you renounce it. But that is only in the Theravada text. Mahayana text is different. Because you do not know how to go this way. That's why you have this type of teaching and all this thing. But if you know how to go this way, it's not like that one. It doesn't mean that if you finish arahantship, that form and mind no more ignorant, no more rebirth, and a segmented life, no more. But it doesn't mean you cannot come. Provided you have the condition, you know how to set the vow, you know how to determine, and you know what this form and mind is all about, you know what karma is all about, you know how to actually arise the causes and conditions to arise it. This one is very important. So if you have that understanding, then you know you need a mind to come, isn't it? But you already enlightened, you got no more delusion. So what type of mind do you need to come? Huh? You cannot have delusion and take rebirth, isn't it? So how you come? How you come? You still need mind, understand? But mind can be true mind or pure mind, understand? So pure mind is what? That's why they all have love and compassion. Love and compassion is without evil root, understand? Without craving. So they pull out this great love and great compassion for living being. That's why they vow to save the limitless living being. And this love and compassion set into the nature's law. That's why it conditioned them to arise. That's why they can arise, understand? No need to have ignorance or delusion to take them. All this is through understanding the vow. That's why one of the 10 perfections is what? Adhittana. Remember? You must know how to make adhittana, determination of vow. And this is a perfection to become Samasambuddha. So if you don't know all this and you simply go and believe the text and go and comment, you create karmic obstruction for nothing. Then because people believe you, are you like that? Ah, like that I go arahatna. I don't want to go Buddhist. Then people get trapped. Then in future when you come, when you hear what people tell you can be done, you also don't believe. Your karmic obstruction is there. You block yourself. That's why I have an open mind. Don't try to be too clever. The cleverness comes from the thought. Okay, we better stop. What time is it? Because heaven also started raining.
I just want to thank you for helping me understand the difference between awareness and the silent mind and the development of wisdom to reach the true mind. So I say that because there is a recording and I want to set it straight in case someone listened to what I said earlier and it's
very good.
Absolutely wrong.
Sadhu, I rejoice. We rejoice with her. Sadhu. Very good. Today is meant to be. That's why they start to rain. Actually, I'm not supposed to talk about all this. I'm supposed to just share this one. How did I end up? Because of the question. Because the question don't come from you all. Conditioned by them. It's okay. Okay, I just finish off this part. 5.3.7, I finish off. Whereas awareness, on the other hand, is not self-induced and there is nobody inside there to be aware. It is just an awareness nature, which is the essence of mind, the silent mind, which is just aware. A general, spacious, or specific phenomenal awareness before the knowing or labeling, we are taught, or the aggregates of mind. Okay, we stop here. I still got about 10 minutes. You got any question, you can still ask. Today, I think we have shared enough. Okay, anybody got any question or anything to add? Maybe I can take one more. No question, That is the best. Then we can end. Yes. Can. No problem. Pamasuri, Sadhu. He wants to collect money. I almost forgot.
No, I'm not going to collect money now. Actually,
is it?
This thing come to me only at 2:30 just now.
Wow, Sadhu.
Okay,
Sadhu.
We have been hunting around to print out the slideshow to print out the hard copy, no shop can do it for us.
Yesterday
evening, we managed to find a shop in Klang.
So
just now, 2:30, I rushed up to Klang.
Sadhu.
And he managed to get it done. And actually, this one's supposed to come as a surprise from us to Brother Teo. But since today is Kwanyin's birthday,
I
cannot hold it anymore.
Sadhu, I rejoice.
So, shall we present it to Brother Teo?
Can. Sadhu. This is meant for 19...
It is meant for Brother Teo's birthday surprise and the 10 years...
Open up,
open the cup. this is the hard copy.
Oh, okay.
And the
okay.
printing is...
It's supposed to be our gathering of Kayanamita, huh? This 19 October. Huh? Oh, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, they make it so beautiful. Last time, Joyce one is like kindergarten.
Sadhu, all sadhu. The slides are inside and sadhu. Properly printed out.
Oh, sadhu. I rejoice. Huh? Hey, how much does it cost you all? We were cheap in, don't worry. We were cheap in. Sadhu. I rejoice. I was cheap in.
So it was ready by 3:30 just now. That's why when meant we rushed here, it was 4 o'clock.
Never mind, no problem. No wonder. So meant to be. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Come, Padmasri, come. You also come. Padmasri, come. I take with Padmasri and Tio first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Actually, we got 10 minutes, don't worry. Look, Yong Wai, phone. No, take my phone. Ying Bi, you know how to use or not? Okay. okay. Wait. Okay. Okay. Slowly. Never mind, it's okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Then afterwards, you all can join us. Okay, come. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can come and join. We take a group photo. Maybe we put this in front. Stand, let it stand, cannot. Can we have something? I know. Get a cushion, get a few cushions. Put a cushion behind. Put behind, put behind. All come. Brother Hung, come, all come. Yeah, John, come. It's meant to be. Because so many things just tie in. I think it was what they wanted. Because it marked a few things. First, it was my 10th anniversary of sharing, coming out into the Dhamma, what they call the Dhamma friends. Then also this year is supposed to be my year of the horse, 60th birthday. Then this is also the 25 years of Dhamma understanding that I have. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you so much. One more. Okay, good. Thank you, sadhu, sadhu. What about you? You can join us. Join us. Somebody help to take. Somebody help. Come, join us. You can sit anywhere. Or stand at the back. After you take the shot, maybe after you take the shot, you must hold the camera for a while. Otherwise, it will run. Sadhu. Never mind, never mind. Take one more. Si gua tian bu tian. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, sadhu. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I really rejoice. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Huh? Then after that, you can take your time to look at it. Huh? We should thank Pamasuri and Thieu. Huh? They have done a great job. I never expect it to be like that. So everything is like meant to be. Huh? So it is not compulsory. Huh? You want to chip in, just let Pamasuri know. Huh? I will also donate. Huh? The surplus go to Kayadamita Fund. I will donate 1,000. I will donate 1,000. Don't worry, you all can chip in. The surplus go to Kayadamita Fund. We are, this year onward, we will do a lot of things for Kayadamita, using Kayadamita Fund. Yeah, these are conditions that arise. It's not for... Sadhu. It's not for me. It's for the faith. It's for the condition. It's for things that is going to happen. I just flow and accord. My nature got nothing. This form of mind is not me. But these are beautiful conditions that can give you faith. Because I am nothing. Nobody, just a lay person. But how come all these things can happen? Like I said, Amitabha's vow is so heavy, yet it can manifest and become a reality. So what is our vow? Nothing, actually. What you want to do is way below what Amitabha Buddha has done. So it's possible. But if he can do it, nobody will fail. Only need faith. You only need faith, sadha. Then you must have sincerity. Then you persevere. Then everything will happen. Okay, we rejoice one more time. Sadhu. They are waiting for us to share merit. You better do it fast. Okay, we will do it together. Sharing of merits with the devas. We chant it 3 times. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting. Sadhu. You see the way they rejoice, I tell you. Your light also trip. Anasana. We have to on back the ELCB. No, the ELCB, just push it up. It's at the back. Chua. At the back. Oh, got two. Okay. Slowly. Somebody use the phone. Phone light. Let them the phone light. No, ELCB. Just sadhu. We should continue. I will do the English translation, then we chant the Pali again 2 more times. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Okay, we will chant the Pali again twice. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. Okay, we will continue with itawata. Itawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatakalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavato loko cha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now we will make aspiration. You all better determine strongly. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until nibbana is realized soon as possible, and we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we also should thank all Dhamma protectors, devas, and all those beings who have helped make this condition favorable. And by the power of all this wholesomeness that we have shared over the last 3 hours, may it pave the way for all of you to realize your good and noble wishes soon as possible, including all the devas, all the Dhamma protectors, and whatever beings that have affinity with this assembly. May their good and noble wish be fulfilled too. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Thank you.
With Rachel for home sharing.